At Church on the Word, we're building strong families on the Word of God. It's our desire to be a blessing to you. COTW messages are available to you at no cost. Feel free to listen and share with your friends. Now here's Pastor Rennie Ohl with this week's message.
Here we are. Thanksgiving is behind us. I still got in my pants. I don't know how, but I ate till I couldn't breathe. But it was not my fault, you know. It was all the desserts. That's what, you know, was rough. But anyway, we're into the month of December, and it's the month of Christmas. It's the month of a lot of things. And I really felt like I wanted to just share more than just the Christmas message. I want to share what this season's really all about. And I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like sometimes, especially the way the world is today, Christmas is just not, it's not giving him enough recognition. You know what I'm saying? The world is getting more and more secular. You know, they're doing everything they can to get Christ out of Christmas. In fact, I refuse to say or write Xmas, because that's X is Christ being taken out. And, you know, it's something that we all are seeing more and more every year. It's something that, you know, they're trying to do away with Christmas by calling it, you know, the holiday season or happy holidays. I don't know about you, but I still say happy Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I will never stop saying that, because Christ is the reason for Christmas. Can I get an amen? And this morning, I've got a message that I think is really appropriate, and it's I titled it The Night of Miracles. And I've got a lot of scripture. I'm trying to keep this down to where it's at least a three-hour message instead of four. But anyway, the night that he was born, there were so many miracles that took place in such a short period of time. And it's something that we sometimes overlook. Sometimes we don't think about it. Sometimes we just kind of get caught up in the season. We get caught up in buying gifts for our loved ones and our children and our grandchildren. You know, it gets so hectic sometimes that we literally forget why we're doing what we're doing. And it's something that even Christians are guilty of. I know as a kid growing up, I wasn't raised a Christian. I wasn't in a Christian home. But I do know that Christmas was so special. I mean, as a kid, I'm still that way. I'm still a kid. I love Christmas morning. I love seeing the kids tearing open presents and wondering what they got, you know, and it's more exciting to me today than it was even when I was a kid, because I get to see the faces of these children. And all that is great. All that is, you know, is wonderful. It really is. And I'm not trying to take away from that, but we need to remember why we're celebrating this time of year. I'm not going to get into how I believe or what I think, whether it was on December 25th when he was born or whether it was not. The issue was he was born. Can I get an amen? If it was on that day, it doesn't matter. We're celebrating that day. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. And, you know, this night that where I'm talking about, as far as these miracles taking place, let's start out in Luke, the second chapter, and I want to read verses 4 through 7. Even to the point where the emperor of Rome, God used him, because he put down a decree that every known area of the Roman world was to be taxed. Now listen to this. It says in verse 4, and Caesar Augustus, he's the one that initiated the taxes, and so everyone had to go to his own city to be taxed. So verse 4, Joseph also departed from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem in Judea, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now I want to stop right there. Betrothed means they weren't married. You all got that. But she was with child. In verse 6, so while they were there, the day came for her to give birth. And in verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The very thing about him, the taxes, was a miracle because he had to be born in Bethlehem. Why do I say that? In Micah, the 5th chapter, it says in verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, although you are the smallest among the tribes of Judah, from you will come forth for me one who will be ruler over Israel. His origins are from old, from ancient of days. From ancient of days. And they sang that song. When I was hearing them sing that, I thought, how appropriate. They didn't know what I was going to preach, and I don't know what they're going to sing, but it the Holy Spirit knew. So right there we see that the trip to Bethlehem was a miracle. By the way, Micah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. Let that sink in a minute. And here he's saying that Bethlehem is going to bring forth a ruler over Israel and over the world. And his origins are from old, from ancient of days. Praise God is right. And the timing of the birth was a miracle. Look at Galatians with me. Galatians, the 4th chapter. And we'll start in verse 4. And it says, but when the fullness of time came, the fullness of time. So timing of his birth was truly a miracle. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And I'm going to continue reading because I love this. And because you are sons, God has sent forth unto our hearts the Spirit of His Son. Isn't that the truth? Crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer servants, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. What a miracle. What a miracle. So the taxes were a miracle. The trip to Bethlehem was a miracle. And by the way, I've been in Nazareth and Bethlehem. And we drove in a car and it took us over an hour. From the Sea of Galilee to Bethlehem in a car. Took over an hour. So this was a long journey. And it was a miracle that they were there and that they would never have been there if it hadn't been for Caesar taxing all of Rome, all the provinces of Rome, all the conquered countries of Rome, including Jerusalem. So the timing of the birth was about when the time was fulfilled, when the fullness of time came. And then in John, the first chapter, and in verse 14, it says this. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we see that the miracles that took place that night were the fact that the whole empire was being taxed. They had to go back. Everybody had to go back to where they were from. They had to, the timing of the miracle. And then now you read the incarnation of the miracle. The Word became flesh. You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered why Christ was laying in a manger? I mean, we know He was. We know the story. We know the Word. But have you ever wondered why? I mean, here we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the Lion of Judah. And He's born in a barn. Now, I've got a barn. And there's a lot of doo-doo in my barn. And you walk in my barn, it's nasty, it's dirty, it stinks. But it smells like a barn. Can I get an amen? And here the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why wasn't He born in a castle or in the temple itself? Or why wasn't He born in a mansion? He was born in a barn, in a manger. Think about that. The manger is a perfect picture of His rejection. There was no room for Him. Do you know that's still truth today? Even in Christians' life, we get so caught up in the web of our everyday life, work and money and all the things that go along with our everyday life, that sometimes we find there's just no room for Him. I know Patty and I have to catch ourselves from time to time. We get so caught up in the church and the things of the church and the business of the church and the finances of the church and the things that we've got to do. We got to do this. We got to do that. Sometimes we get so caught up in the web of the church that we forget the purpose of the church. And who's the head of the church? You see, even today, there's always room for business. There's always room for pleasures. And even today, there's always room for others. And we make room for all those different things, but we need to understand that there's times we need to make room for Him. Can I get an amen? The world is still rejecting Him today. Also in John, the first chapter, verses 10 through 11, it says, "He was in the world." We're talking about Christ. "The world was created through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him." So here He was. He was being rejected. He's still being rejected today. The world is still today. There's no room for Him. There's still being rejection done to Him to this day all over the world. You see, the Word was God. The Word was the Creator. The world was made by the Word. Can I get an amen? The world knew Him not. His own people received Him not. Christ is the Word. And yet the world still rejects Him to this day. The manger is a perfect picture of His redemption. Go with me to Luke, the second chapter. And starting in verse, I want to start in verse 8. This is after Joseph had departed. This is after they had gotten to Bethlehem. This was after he was born. In verse 8 it says, "In the same area there were shepherds in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." These guys didn't even have a home. They're camping out. They're out there with their flocks, keeping the wolves off of them and watching over them. And verse 9 it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were very afraid. But the angel said to them, 'Listen, do not be afraid, do not be in fear, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. To all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in strip clothing, lying in a manger.'" The two things that these shepherds were looking for was a baby wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in a barn. The Lamb of God. Let that sink in for a minute. The Lamb of God. How appropriate where He really was and what they were looking for. In the 1 John of verse 29, John the Baptist called Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God. We need to realize that in that baby's life, it wasn't too far from the manger to the cross. It wasn't too far at all. And we must not forget at this time of the year the cross. Can I get an amen? Paul's description of the birth tied his birth and the cross together. If you go with me to Philippians, the second chapter, and I want to start reading in verse 5. And it's really important we get a hold of this morning. In verse 5 of chapter 2 in Philippians, it starts out by Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." Now, what mind is he talking about? What was he trying to say to us? We need to have the mind of Christ. Well, what did Christ think about all the time? What was his thoughts? What was his purpose? Let's just keep going. "Who," verse 6, "being in the form of God, did not consider equally with God something to be grasped." In other words, he didn't walk around, you know, with his God halo on. Every time you see a picture of him, you got this big halo over his head. Well, that ain't what he walked around with. He did not come across to the people of that time as God. He did not come across as something, you know, spectacular, something you need to bow down to. When people finally figured out who he was, they were doing it, but he didn't even like it. But listen to what else he said, the mind of Christ. Verse 7, "But he emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant." That's what was on his mind. That's what you and I, when we talk about having the mind of Christ, we need to have a mind of a servant. And goes on to say, "And was made in the likeness of men." And verse 8, "And being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God highly exalted Him and gave Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled Himself. He took on the role of a servant. That was what was in His mind. That was what His purpose was. He came to save that which was lost. He came to heal that which was sick. He came to comfort those who were being tormented. He cast out demons everywhere He went. He healed people everywhere He went. He was a blessing. He raised the dead. He was always there to serve people. Always wanting to serve people. You and I need to realize, to have the mind of Christ, we need to have the mind of a servant. We need to not only have the mind of a servant, but we need to love like He loved. He couldn't stand seeing somebody hurting. He couldn't stand seeing somebody blind. He couldn't stand seeing somebody in misery or being demon-possessed. It was just something He couldn't live with. His compassion for people and to be a servant was so overwhelming that everywhere He went, He had to do something about it. And that's how we need to be. My Bible tells me that everything that He did, greater things we would do today, because there's so many more of us. He was in a body just like I am right now, just like you are right now, and I can't be everywhere at one time no more than you can. Or He couldn't be everywhere at one time because He was constrained, He was humbled, He was took on the form of a man in a body, and that was all He could do. Was wherever He went, He could do something, but He couldn't be everywhere like you and I can. Your world and my world, we've talked about this so many times, is a different world. You know people I don't know. I know people you don't know. We have contact. We have neighbors. We have family. We have workers, co-workers that only you know. Only you know. We must not forget the reason for this season. So Paul, he linked in this passage in Philippians, he linked the birth to the cross. I find it ironic that both the cross and the cradle was made of wood. He started there and He ended there. So He was the Lamb, even to the death of the cross. He was the Lamb that was slain for you and I. Hallelujah. In Luke, the second chapter, and I want to go back to there. I want to read some more passage here. The shepherds knew that they were looking for a baby. By the way, that was at His birth. Now, the kings or the magi that came later, most theologians think He was a year and a half to 2 years old when they got to Him. But the shepherds got there, boom. I mean, they were there. But it goes on to say in verse 13, what we just were reading, suddenly there was with the angel a company of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. All these angels were just excited about what humans are going to be experiencing. that there was going to be peace on the earth and there was going to be goodwill towards men. There was all these things they were elated about. And then it goes on to say, when the angels went their way from them into the heaven, verse 15, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." In other words, they left their sheep. They just said, "Okay, forget the sheep. We got to go see this." God has revealed it to the most humblest of humble people, shepherds, living and camping in the field, watching over their flock. They were the lowliest of lowly. In other words, God wanted them to know before the kings of the world and the rich of the world and the, you know, the lords of the world and whoever, the politicians of the world. He went to the lowliest of lowliest, and the angels, that's where the notification came in. That's where the announcement came in. And so, in verse 16, so they came hurrying and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the word which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they didn't keep it to themselves. They wanted everybody to know what they knew. They wanted everybody to hear what they had heard and what they had seen. They were excited. And it goes on to say, it says, when they had seen him, they made widely known and told everyone concerning this child. And verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at what the shepherds told them. Now, here's the thing. You and I have got the same commission that these shepherds have got. But these shepherds weren't told to do it. They did it out of excitement. They did it out of joy. They did it because they couldn't wait to tell somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? And then verse 19, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You know what? They were doing it because they were excited. They were doing it because they wanted to do it. They didn't have the Great Commission. They were just sharing what they found out, what they had seen, what they were told. And they were so excited because the angels told them that there'd be goodwill towards men, there'd be peace on the earth. They couldn't wait to tell it. Even like I said, you know, so many times we sang about it this morning, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Do you realize that He did not die on the cross because someone made Him? He did it because He knew that's what He was born for. He knew it because He was born to be the final sacrifice for all mankind. No more bulls, no more goats, no more pigeons, no more sheep. He was the last one. And He knew that. He knew that. And that's why at this time of year, you know, you think about that little precious baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, in a barn. You know, we see a beautiful picture of it every year at Christmas time, but I don't think it was that pretty. you know, it may have stunk a little bit. It may have been a little dark, you know. It may have not been as pretty as we see it, but it really did happen. You see, by Him being born the way He was, we all have access to Him. We all have access to Him, not just the rich and famous and the powerful and the, but all of us. Every single one of us has access to Him. Praise God forevermore. Isn't that exciting? That is so exciting. I get so excited about it, I just can't. I want to read another passage of Scripture. Well, let's go back to Philippians. I got something else I want to share. Philippians. And you know, it was talking about the fact that He was exalted on high. He'd be the name above every name, and every knee shall bow to that name. And then Paul went on to say, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also the more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is the one working in you both to His will and to do His good pleasure. Now, Penny and I were just talking about this the other day. We're excited about the new year coming. We're excited about what God has put in our hearts about this church. And we really, it's almost like I can't believe she hasn't spilled the beans yet. Because she gets something in her heart, she can't hardly stop talking about it. But here's the thing. We as a body of believers, God has got something for each one of us to do in our life. He's got something for each one of us to walk out, to walk or to run our race. Can I get an amen? And then Paul goes on in Philippians, he says, do all things without murmuring or disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless sons of God and daughters of God, without fault in the midst of crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine as lights in that world. I'm going to tell you something. This world is perverse, and it is definitely crooked. You know, we're seeing things that we didn't think we'd ever see. We're hearing things we didn't think we'd ever hear. And I guarantee you one thing. I'm reading a book right now called The Book of Signs. And it was written by Dr. David Jeremiah. And I highly recommend it. It is an amazing book. And it just, the more I read it, the more I think, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, you know, I've got to do more. I've got to do more. Because we are truly in the last days. The Book of Signs, he just takes everything that's been happening in the last, say, 10 years up to today, and he's just pointing it out that we're in the last hours. He keeps saying to me that, you know, we get so caught up in our lives, and we're concerned about so many things, and we should be. Don't get me wrong. We've got to feed our families. We've got to put a roof over our families' heads. We got to work. We got to do things that we need to do. But we get so caught up in it that we forget the fact that we are in the last days, and that He could come any second. He could come before this message is through. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Well, if we have a mindset that every time we wake up in the morning that we've got a new day, that He may come this day, then we will be about more of His business. That we would have room for Him in our lives. because that's how important the rapture of the church is. There's no second chance. There, it's going to be a... nobody knows exactly when it's going to happen. It's going to be a select few. It's actually a family matter. When you think about the rapture of the church, it's a family matter. Because only those who have gone into the family of God and have accepted Jesus as the Lord of their lives and He is our Father, that's who's going to be caught up in the rapture. So it's a family affair. It's not even a worldwide thing. It's a selective thing. It's a secret thing. It's a quick thing. It's in a twinkling of an eye. In fact, you know, I often thought that twinkling of an eye is just a blink of an eye. That's not really what it is. The twinkling of an eye is really referring to the light that comes to your pupil at 186,000 miles a second. I mean, we're talking a nanosecond. That's how when the trump of God and the shout from heaven and Christ, you know what He's going to be shouting to the family? Come on home. Come on home. I mean, we need to be so aware of that every day. Every day of our lives, we need to be so aware of it. Do you realize that even in the book of Revelations, and I'm not going to go through every verse, but you find the phrase, the Lamb. You find in Revelations, the fifth chapter, the Lamb of God is worthy. In Revelations, the seventh chapter, you find the Lamb of our Shepherd. And then in chapter 15, you find them singing a song of the Lamb. And then in Revelation 17, they will make war with the Lamb. They think they're making war with the Lamb. But I guarantee you, He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. And I'm telling you what, I don't want to be the ones that are on earth when this happens. In fact, I don't know about you, but in my studies, I don't want to be anywhere for 7 years. I don't want to be on this earth. Because I don't want to go through what's going to happen to those people, especially the ones that refuse to take the mark of the beast. They're going to die a martyr's death. But the ones that even don't take the mark, if they only knew what lay ahead, if they only knew what they were going to go through, if they only knew their eternal future. I'll get in. That's a whole another message, and I plan on preaching it someday, but I'm telling you right now, Christmas is not just about this little baby. That baby, conceived by God and birthed by Mary, a small young girl, it was the fullness of time. It was a miracle after miracle after miracle that took place that night. And that's what this whole month is about. That's what Christmas is about. It is what it is. But we must not forget. We must not overlook the reason for the season. And we must make room for Him. That's what the this whole scene about Him being in a barn is because they didn't have room for Him. They were too busy for Him. They were too much pleasures going on. They were worried about other things and other people. We need to start thinking about Him. Can I get an amen? Justin, if you'll bring your team up here. So that was the night of miracles. That was the night that everything changed in the world. And it was just from this birth of this small little baby. From a young girl that was probably somewhere between 12 and 14 years old. But it changed everything. It changed everything. And this whole month, we're going to be looking at the birth of Christ because it's important. Without it, none of us have any hope. And so we're going to take a deep look at it. And that way this month, by the time we get to Christmas, we're going to have a whole deeper understanding. In fact, in the book of Luke, I want to challenge you today. I want to really cause you to do some thinking, okay? Is that all right? You all love me? Today is the first day of the month of May. The 25th is Christmas. Yeah. Did I have May on my mind? Baby on my mind. I do have baby on my mind. Today is the first day of December, and Christmas is on the 25th. Y'all raise your hand if you're listening to me. Raise your hand. Paul, are you listening? Okay, I want to see that hand. I see that hand. I see two hands, yeah. The book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, has 24 chapters. You start today and read chapter 1. And every day you read a chapter. Then when the 24 days up, the next day is Christmas. And I promise you, you're going to have such a knowledge, understanding of what that day really is. Can I get an amen? One chapter a day. How many raise your hand and say, I'll do it, Pastor? I'll say, I see about three or four of you. Paul, I need to see that hand. Okay, I see it. How about up here? Chapter a day? Every day? And then the next day is Christmas. Let's all stand together. Praise God. I hope you got something out of this morning. I really mean that. I am excited about where we're at. I'm excited about Christmas. We have a huge family. And when we get together for Christmas, it's a hoot. It's really fun to watch the kids and the grandkids. But we always need to remember why we're there. We always need to remember why we're celebrating. We're giving gifts to our loved ones. Because God gave us the most precious gift the world has ever gotten. And that's His Son, Jesus Christ. We give gifts to our kids and our grandkids and our loved ones because we love them. We love them. God gave us His only Son because God so loved the world. He so loved us. And He still loves us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If you were encouraged by these audio clips, please let us know. Our email address is cotw@crosstail.net. If you're looking for a home church, we'd love to have you. Our address is 1511 North Highway 64, Warner, Oklahoma. For more information on our ministry, including service times, go to churchontheword.net.